Gotta respect the bell. Welcome back to the final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means Crunch Exchange time.
How was that determined? Was that your call?
What? Respecting the bell?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that one. That's one of the best contributions we've had here.
One must respect the bell, and I appreciate you saying that. Thank you, Steve. Take a compliment when you can get it, ladies and gentlemen, and I just got one, so I'll take it. So Crunch Exchange means I am going to bring up some stories from the world of sports, and I'm going to, come up with a prospectus from those stories, and Steve's going to tell us if he's buying or selling said prospectus. There's also an option for pending. Sometimes he picks it. Oregon football in the news for some pretty bad reasons this week. Three players hospitalized from excessive workouts. According to a release from the athletic department, those three players got back from their winter break, began doing workouts. One of them went up to the training staff complaining of discomfort. They checked them out and noticed kidney issues. After that, two more players stepped forward with the same complaints, all three admitted to Riverbend, one of them contracting a rare disease from the incident. Fallout from it has been mixed. Many say the players' health and safety were violated by the new strength coach trying to make his mark. Others say the players were soft and out of shape, and this is part of changing the culture. Willie Taggart acted, suspending Irle Odorinde for 1 month without pay, instituting Jim Radcliffe as his stand-in, and taking the power of workout oversight out of his own hands and placing it in Andrew Murray's hands, who runs the performance and sports science division at the school. The prospectus, you buy or sell that Willie Taggart acted appropriately?
So we're basing everything based on information. There's no speculation. We're not blindly listening to the players or the program or fans or people on Twitter. I think his heart's in the right place. I think they went over what could happen. I think there's a tendency for me right now to believe that maybe the new strength and conditioning guy pushed things a little too far. So right now I am going to say bye. Purchase.
Follow up to that. Some are saying that Taggart himself should be in trouble for this. Did Rob Mullins act correctly in this? By essentially not acting.
My tendency is to say absolutely yes, but I know that can be dangerous, and I haven't thought much about Rob Mullins. It would have been his decision on what to do with Willie Taggart. I think they ran into a case of overzealous. Fortunately, I don't want to get past Teddy Agu and some of the real tragedies we've witnessed. Also cannot be dismissive. Three high-level athletes had to spend multiple nights in the hospital. I think they addressed it. I kind of agree with a lot of what George Schroeder said. So I'm also going to purchase that. But remember one thing. There's still more information to be revealed. But right now I'm going to buy it.
The San Francisco 49ers, the last team to bring in a new head coach. Oddly enough, it appears they're about to try to go the Atlanta Falcons route when they hired Dan Quinn. They had to wait until the sea chicken season was over before they could bring him in, but that obviously worked out in the end for them. The Niners hope the same will happen for them with Atlanta offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan, who they are reportedly going to offer the job to this weekend after the Falcons playoff game. But CBS's Jason LaCanfora reported yesterday that while the 49ers are putting everything on Shanahan, there's no certainty he would actually accept the job. The Niners and Jed York specifically are a mess, and Shanahan could be the prize head coach target next year for a franchise with possibly better prospects. Think of Chip Kelly saying no to Tampa in favor of Philly the next year. But while the 49ers suck right now, they're still the 49ers. The prospectus, you buy or sell that Kyle Shanahan would actually turn down the 49ers if they offered him to be their head coach?
First of all, the question is, Atlanta wasn't very good last year. I know they had some injuries, and I know that the front office gave him Alex Max. They had a healthy Julio Jones. He's kind of been a one great year wonder. He was with the Browns, Washington, Houston in 08 and 09. He was a quarterbacks coach, a wide receivers coach. What was the prospectus again?
Do you think Kyle Shanahan would turn down the 49ers if they offered him the
job? Since everything I just said, I was more concerned why are the 49ers putting all their eggs in his basket.
Jed York.
I don't think he would turn that down, so I'm going to sell that.
A lot of talk this week about the Hall of Fame voting for baseball, mostly about two guys who, probably wouldn't get in instead of the couple who might. The voting is complete. Tim Raines, Jeff Bagwell, along with Pudge Rodriguez get in. Vlad Guerrero, Trevor Hoffman both just miss. I believe they're, Hoffman was five votes short. Guerrero was 15. But the talk this week had been about Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. But they are, they just missed, essentially. They didn't just miss. They were, about, I believe, it was 55 and 56% or something like that. But they're moving in the right direction, I guess, is the point. People have seen Bud Selig get voted in, who ushered in the steroid era, basically fostered it during the long ball era. And they think, well, if the enabler gets in, why shouldn't the guys he enabled, who on paper are actually two of the best players ever to step on a diamond, why shouldn't they get in? So while it didn't happen this year, many are saying it could eventually happen for them. The prospectus, you buy or sell that Bonds and Clemens will eventually get voted in.
Yeah, the whole do two wrongs make a right, or once you let Selig in, it opens the door. I think there's always been this. By the way, I thought Clemens and Bonds, something's wrong here. I'm looking at the 2017 ballot. And it's saying that Hoffman only got 67%.
That is incorrect.
Reins and Bagwell. Something's amiss with the baseball reference site right now. But I think if they jumped, in fact, from the high 30s to the lower mid-50s, if not next year, the year after, and it'll have to be something that the National Museum in Cooperstown will have to deal with, how to address this for future generations. But I would bet a bunch of cash that the Rocket and the Bay Area balloon head will get in. I'll buy that.
By the way, here.
Don't deny me my ka-ching.
By the way, Edgar Martinez for Mariners fans got 58.6% this year.
Again, substantially up from what he's gotten.
Actually, 15 percent points up from last year. We usually go hard sports on this segment, but this one a little off the board. Lady Gaga performing at the Super Bowl and has said that she wants to perform on top of the roof on Houston Stadium. She's apparently very gung-ho to do it and is pushing for it to happen. Reports say that to be able to make that happen, however, they would need to be able to actually cut holes in the roof of the stadium. So they're going to take a $1 billion stadium and cut holes in the roof so Lady Gaga can perform one song there. There's also talk of airlifting her into the stadium. Basically, a whole bunch of technical issues associated with this, but it is Lady Gaga, and it is the Super Bowl. So if it were to ever happen, this would be the time for it to happen. The prospectus, you buy or sell that Lady Gaga will perform during the halftime show at Houston's roof.
So they don't have, like, gates A, B, C, and D, apparently, for her to just walk in with everybody else.
Oh, man.
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
That's a good one. I like her a lot, a couple songs. I just like her whole attitude. I think she's very Madonna, 83, 84, basically. If you don't like me, I don't care. You're not me. There's no way she's not going to end up performing on this kind of a stage. So the prospectus was?
You buy or sell that she's going to perform on the roof.
Oh, on the roof. I know the NFL spends a lot of money. They're not boring a hole in a relatively new roof. I'm selling that one.
Pete Carroll in the news this week after Seattle's loss to Atlanta for comments he made about Richard Sherman. According to Carroll, Sherman played a significant portion of the season with a significant MCL injury, which is, you know, like, hey, he's a badass. But then you realize that the NFL has an injury report policy and that Sherman wasn't on any of them for any sort of injury, let alone a significant knee injury. Carroll followed up those comments by apologizing for not revealing it and being confused by the severity. He said the injury itself won't actually require surgery, and didn't know that the team hadn't been putting Sherman on their report. The prospectus, you buying or selling what Carroll is offering here?
I think he is so used to just speaking off the cuff and in a way maybe trying to praise Sherman for saying he played through injuries, and then somebody's like, we're supposed to disclose those. It's kind of against the rules.
We've been lying about this.
And then all of a sudden he was like, that was me screeching to a hole, hitting reverse. So, yeah, and remember, I'm not an anti-Carroll guy, but, yeah, that's a load of crap. We're going to sell that.
Last one here. Cal basketball simply has Oregon basketball's number. It's really weird, but no matter how good Oregon is, Cal always seems to beat them. The Bears have won 8 of the last 10 meetings. That includes each of the last 4 years, each of which featured a ranked Oregon team and an unranked Cal team. Guess what the situation is this year? Yeah, Cal unranked, Oregon ranked 11th in the AP poll. But the Ducks are playing as good a basketball as anyone in the country right now. You've seen it. Just blowing out teams since their buzzer beater over UCLA. Will history prevail, or will Oregon buck the trend? The prospectus, Oregon will beat Cal tomorrow in Eugene.
You know, I looked before and my site hadn't updated. I really just want to see what the betting line was. I think we're seeing Oregon in all its glory. When we saw success early on from Dana Altman, we were all sold, this guy's a fantastic coach. What would happen when things stabilized and he really had his guys, his recruiting, and there were no limitations? We're seeing this now. Cal has played well. They've beaten some bad teams, two of them close. This is Oregon games tomorrow. We're going to buy that.